Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
In the news, emergency crews searching into the wee hours of this morning and saying they will return to the scene of a water rescue on the Schuylkill River between Chester and Montgomery counties. One man still missing. So this all began for those emergency crews who were called in last night about 9 o'clock in the evening, Industrial Highway in the city of Pottstown. This is on Kime Street on the other side of the river in North Coventry Township. The Kime Street Bridge, as you may know, is currently under construction. Those huge pipes underneath. And so it's believed that these boaters going through, one of them caught within because of those the huge pipes and all that construction as they fix the Kime Street Bridge. At least one man was able to survive. The other's still missing. And a boat was recovered as well. But like I say, about 2:30-ish this morning, those exhausted search crews from Montgomery counties, from neighboring counties as well, they gave up the search temporarily, but they are expected to come back this morning, and they're scheduled to resume this morning to try to find, perhaps it'll be they're not calling it a recovery as of this moment. They're still saying they'll continue to search, but this is a real tragedy here in our region.
Probably significantly more difficult than usual based on all the rain we've had lately, I would imagine.
Yeah, if you notice all the rivers, you know, in other words, the currents are stronger, and you look at how high they're running, and so that certainly contributed. And maybe they couldn't see all the piping because, to your point, Nick, because of all the, you know, the water levels have risen because of all the rain we've had.
Sure.
We have an Uber driver dead. His passengers, they're saying, lucky to be alive after this fiery crash. This is Philadelphia's Fishtown neighborhood. They responded over the weekend in the 1000 block. This is Marlboro Street. And in this one, that's where they found the vehicle fully engulfed in flames. Police say this looks like the driver suffered some kind of a medical emergency before crashing his Hyundai into multiple parked cars. And so, unfortunately, then three of those other parked cars, they caught fire. Four passengers were able to escape without injury. And so they tried to get the driver out. They were unable due to the intensity, they say, of these flames. So the four passengers, they got out. We know that they were actually being transported. They called an Uber because the four people were heading back to their hotel. They had been to the Roots picnic at the Mann Center over the weekend. So the passengers were visiting this area from Canada. We're told we had a ton of visitors over the weekend who were visiting the city of Philadelphia. And that really brings me to an update, because we know that Philadelphia police had beefed up all the patrols in and around the city of Philadelphia, the Mann Center. We had talked about this last week, this after that so-called the mass shooting, remember, that happened, Lemon Hill, Fairmount Park, where two people were killed, in total 11 were shot. Yesterday, there was a balloon release and a memorial service for 21-year-old Mikhail Bowers. He was killed in that mass shooting, Memorial Day, Lemon Hill in Fairmount Park, along with 23-year-old Amya Devlin. So police said 9 others were injured, many still hospitalized, still recovering. As far as Mikhail Bowers, we've learned that he had 2 young children. And so his family describes him as a hardworking individual. And so they were praying for him, had this huge balloon release. But we now hear from Philadelphia police that they believe that it's possible as many as 6 different guns were fired in that mass shooting in Fairmount Park, Memorial Day, Lemon Hill, in that shooting. As I continue to search for some kind of a description of the shooters,
I was waiting for this.
We do not have
a
description.
So we know the number of guns, though.
Yes, sir.
Funny, MSNBC, that terror attack that happened in Boulder, Colorado, they were very quick to say, even though the man is Egyptian, they were very quick to say white male.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's a situation like that.
Yep.
We know immediately it's a white man.
Right.
Immediately.
And by the way, in the country, illegally.
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Yes, I know we got to all this, but I want to, I just want to say that this is,
Agenda identities.
Oh, just annoys me. That's why I ask every day.
Yep.
Do we have a description of the shooter yet? Well, no.
The identity will be revealed when it fits the narrative.
Do we at least know if it's a male, Dawn Stensland?
They're not really.
Of course.
Everybody's talking about the gun violence.
Yes.
Do we know if it's a human?
That some of these these firearms may have been produced from, you know, these may have been those untraceable guns that are 3D guns. We have all of that information. We do not have video. We do not have suspect, not even a description from all those eyewitnesses, because we know that was a huge crowd Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that going on. We had in thousands of people actually in Philadelphia, 6 and Walnut Street yesterday at the 2025 Philadelphia Pride March and Festival. And so the theme this year for the LGBTQ plus flag, as well as the Pride Parade this year, the theme was LUV, Legacy, Unity, and Visibility. That was the theme here in Philadelphia. I know in Montgomery County, they have a flag raising this morning, a Pride flag raising.
Yeah, I'll be raising the flag myself. I'll be out of here. What time is that? Do you know what time the flag goes up? I think it's 8:30.
Yes.
I'll be leaving the show at about 8 o'clock to head back to Montgomery County and be the official flag bearer.
Oh.
I'm really going all out for the next 28 days.
And as we alluded to, the real tragedy that we're learning much more about this morning, as the FBI labeled that hate-fueled fiery attack on American Jews as an act of terrorism. Boulder, Colorado,
well,
6 people in total injured, including one elderly individual who reportedly is a Holocaust survivor.
Jesus.
Well,
this guy screamed Free Palestine, used a makeshift flamethrower against the crowd, some of whom were elderly folks. They were commemorating Israeli hostages still in Gaza.
Well, we don't know that yet, because according to CNN, the FBI, for rushing to conclude the Boulder attack as terrorism, makes them, quote, look juvenile.
Okay.
So as of last night, CNN running with the fact that the FBI calling it terrorism, an act of terrorism, juvenile. Juvenile,
okay,
according to CNN.
How about these stats? I sent these to you guys before the show. I grabbed a screen grab from Fox News. The ADL audited the entire total of anti-Semitic incidents for last year, 2024. We saw a 5% increase from 2023, a 34% increase over the last 5 years, and an 893% increase over the last decade. And we're talking about 9,000+ incidents alone in the United States, the highest on record since the ADL began tracking it 46 years ago. You see what October 7th, 2023 started? This is the Intifada happening right here in your own country. For all the college geniuses out there that want to, you know, parade around with a mask on and a headdress and yell Free Gaza, Free Palestine, this is what you're advocating for, you dopes.
And the details that we're getting this morning, as I said, one of the victims badly burned in this story. The witnesses, there were many eyewitnesses doing live interviews well into the night, talking about what happened, describing the suspect that FBI officials identify as Mohammed Sabri Solomon. There was video.
A white guy. A white guy, according to MSNBC. A white guy. These effing people.
White guy.
Can we play an eyewitness? This is 33, Phil, if you have it.
There's a woman who was on the ground bleeding out. Oh my gosh, sorry. And then there are 2 other women whose calves were burned from the fire. And so I just ran over to stay with them and make sure that they didn't, like, lose too much blood from their legs.
And there was a woman that was burning on the ground. And then we noticed 2 other people that had also been affected by the burns on their legs. And this man was shirtless and was yelling with some kind of accent and was threatening to burn people.
Hasn't Colorado been through enough with terror attacks and shootings and stuff?
Just a couple more since we're here. I want to get this for the early risers out there. 30, Phil. This is the I guess we have to still call him an alleged suspect. All of these videos were taken on their on people's phones, so the quality might not be that great, but Dawn alluded to the fact that he said free Palestine. In this clip, he says, this will end when Palestine is free and for us. This is 30, Phil. Roll this.
Wow.
So that was the suspect who authorities say was right there on the scene. They identify him as a person who is here illegally from Egypt. And this, as well as they say that, like I say, one of those survivors, senior citizen, at least one, is in critical condition, a Holocaust survivor. He's 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Solomon. He's identified. They also say, yeah, he was yelling Free Palestine as he continued the attack, they say. And so we expect more information today.
One more video. This is 31. If you guys, there is a video, there is a part here that is a little graphic because you see somebody on the ground. If you don't want to see it, then, you know, turn away. This is a longer clip from this lunatic. Roll this.
We're here. We can't do nothing about that. We can't do nothing.
We can't.
Not here.
We have to end Zionists.
Not here, bro. We are
not. He won't take the video right now.
I wish I had my gun with me. I'd do it.
Yeah, so would I. And put one right in his leg.
Pretty bad.
Stay away. He's right there. He's throwing Molotov cocktails right there.
There you can see them dousing a woman with water.
And you're going to hell, man. You don't antagonize.
Look at the way the cop also apprehends him there in that video.
Yep.
I mean, he could have been a little bit, a little rougher. He was apprehending a shoplifter.
I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
In the heat of the moment, yeah, we'd want to do this. But, wow. Yeah. The MSNBC, can you just roll 32? If you don't hate the media enough, roll this, 32.
As far as the investigation itself, we're still trying to verify and confirm some video, but it appears to show a significant portion of the incident as it happened. There's an individual that's taken into custody. He's a white male. Whether or not that's the person that police ultimately arrested
white male.
And will ultimately charge in this crime, a bit of a question at this time.
But white male.
White male.
It's a white male.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how long they'll stick with that white male labeling, or if they'll eventually pivot to a different branding of the suspect. Terrible.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Real tragedy here. And this just 2 weeks, remember, 2 weeks after another terror attack, that one, as two Israeli embassy staff members. We've talked a lot about, Sarah, her soon-to-be fiancé, Yaron, as they were walking outside a building there, a gathering in D.C., targeted because they were Jewish, executed, shot to death at close range in the nation's capital, and amid a rise in incidents of anti-Semitism, like you said, Nick Hale, across the nation. So a lot of reaction this morning. I know we'll talk about this morning. I was trying to end on some kind of a positive note because we do know that President Donald J. Trump was taking a victory lap here in Pennsylvania Friday night. And this was in the Pittsburgh area with a whole lot of steel workers, with Senator Dave McCormick saying, with the help of patriots like you, we're going to produce our own metal, unleash our own energy, secure our own future, build the nation, control our destiny, and once again going to put Pennsylvania steel into the backbone of America like never before. Understanding that tariffs going up with those steel tariffs on foreign steel, so many talking about that this morning in financial news. And then as well, the Senate returning, expected to take up that big, beautiful bill talk. What will Senator Rand Paul do? So we have all of that going on with the breaking news. And then, unfortunately, our Phils swept by the Brewers, lost 5-2 in the latest game.
Come back to earth for the Phils, riding that high for well over a month. It was bound to happen.
Is it time for them to get rid of Topper?
6-1-0. Is Rob Thompson back on the hot seat? Oh, God.
Save him me. Under the bus.
Save me.
Ouch. I know we'll get to the forecast. Let's get to our sponsor, Independence Seaport Museum. Discover Philadelphia's river of history and world of connections at the Independence Seaport Museum, Penn's Landing. Explore our region's waterways through hands-on interactive exhibits and more. Plan your visit at phillyseaport.org, phillyseaport.org. And I will say as well, not many mentions as far as the month of June, but I will mention to you it's also National PTSD Awareness Month for our military veterans and also National Safety Month. So be safe. It's also National Smile Month. So as Nick Cale delivers our forecast, God, will you be smiling?
Oh, don't.
This is my
smile month.
John, let's put a smile on that face.
Ding.
I already want to hit somebody at 6:18 in the morning.
Yes.
Smile month.
And we still have 3 hours and 42 yeah. minutes to go. Philly weather, it's 58 today. We're going to go up to about 73 yeah. with plenty of sun. 80s the rest of the week. Woo. And even tipping into the 90s Woo. On Thursday. Maybe 91 degrees on wow. Thursday.
Wow.
It's here, finally. And thank
then,
God.
And then everybody's going to be like, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Good.
Oh, I hate
Good.
This weather.
America's obese. We could all afford to just sweat off yeah. some fat.
Sweat.
All right. Philly weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. A Monday Big Take is on the way next. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Kale and Company Podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale and Company.
The Big Take, yelling, grifting, and failing. If you thought the left was going to go into the weekend and wrap up May in a quiet, dignified, and successful way, you haven't been paying attention. Joe Biden is back, by the way. The big guy full of piss and vinegar on Friday in this listening area. And I think we all realize that Joe Biden is very bitter, but he's also the victim of elder abuse. As Jilly from Philly, she keeps trotting him out to scoop up a paycheck with speech after speech. Here's the 46th president of the United States in one of his random outbursts from Friday. Listen and watch.
The idea of America was founded on, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men and women are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of that. We meant it. That's who we are. That's what makes America the most unique nation in the world, literally, not figuratively. In fact,
yikes, can't stick the landing. And then again, the annoying cough. Anybody else having flashbacks to Dana Carvey and the impersonation of Joe Biden? Then, in front of reporters from CBS 3 and 6 ABC, right here in Philadelphia, Joe plays the tough guy card. Listen and watch this.
I'm mentally incompetent, and I can't walk, and I can beat the hell out of both of them.
Well, do you want to reply to any of those reports and also to the fact that there are some Democrats who are now questioning whether you should have run for re-election in the first place?
Why didn't they run against me then? Because I'd have beaten them.
I'm pretty sure Joe Biden just said that he could beat Jake Tapper's ass. I actually think he could. And speaking of Tapper, let's go from the yelling and the threatening of Joe to the grifting of Jake. If I was Jake Tapper's advisor, I would tell him to shut it down. Stocker was right. This speaking tour, it's not helping him. Listen and watch.
I didn't vote for Biden or Trump. I can't stand either party, to be quite honest. That wasn't a bias of mine in terms of shaping my reporting, but like what was shaping my reporting was, I think the fact that like there were just a lot of people lying to us, and I should have just been more skeptical about the fact that they were lying to us. But there were just so many people on the inside, and so many Democratic legislators and so many members of the cabinet and everything that were just completely gaslighting the country.
So you don't vote for either side, but your reporting is 100% in favor of Democrats and 100% against Trump and Republicans all of the time. So you're basically just a network puppet. That's what you just admitted. Because Jake Tapper has gaslighted America for a decade during the Trump era of American politics. And he's gaslighting us again as he lights what's left of his career on fire. One more tidbit on the past with the Biden administration, and this is actually a massive story. News Nation, no friend of Trump's, no way, right of center media, with a major bombshell over the weekend about FEMA, the Biden administration, and the intentional failures to preserve the health of residents of East Palestine, Ohio, after that major train derailment and the contamination of the environment. Listen and watch this report.
It's one thing to think that the government accidentally botched its response to that toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. It's another thing altogether to learn that the government may have purposely deceived residents about health concerns stemming from that huge toxic plume of smoke. New documents exclusively provided to News Nation show that FEMA, the Biden White House, and other federal agencies knew that there could be carcinogens in the air and chose to stay quiet about it, even avoiding residents who were asking for help and pleading for answers. News Nation's Rich McHugh is live in East Palestine, Ohio. Rich, these documents they've tracked down are pretty damning.
Yeah, it's really shocking, honestly, to read through these hundreds of pages of these FEMA emails, these internal emails, because on the one hand, Elizabeth, it affirms everything that these residents have been saying since day one. They have legitimate health concerns and they're sick. The more troubling aspect is, though, in these internal emails between FEMA and the White House, privately, they agree with those assessments. But what they've said publicly is the exact opposite.
More details from that report coming up during the cut sheet. So if we're tracking the last 4 years, the Biden administration, they covered up Joe's health. They covered up your health with COVID shots, vaccines, mask efficacy, so forth and so on. And of course, they cover up the possibility of cancer clusters in East Palestine, Ohio. But let's look at the state of the Democrat Party today. Folks, they're getting desperate. Last week, they selected Olivia Herrera, a disabled, queer-identifying 22-year-old female, to be the one who brings men back to the Democrat Party. If you thought that was laughable, get a load of this. Welcome to Blue MAGA. Here's the cover of Vanity Fair for June 2025. Phil, you can post this cover of the magazine on YouTube. Headline, Ro Khanna, Democrat from California, believes Blue MAGA can save the Dems, and Steve Bannon loves it. They write, Silicon Valley's congressman wants to revive his party's fortunes with his own version of progressive populism. MAGA leaders and Rust Belt workers are listening. Can Ro Khanna pull it off? The answer is no. Ro Khanna is not the face. Ro Khanna is not the voice. And plagiarism is sniffed out easily these days. Just ask countless Harvard professors and Ivy League elites who've been caught. Forget Blue MAGA. The Democrats, they could use Blue Chew, because their platform and their party has gone completely limp. CNN highlighted just how impotent they've become on Sunday morning. Listen and watch this.
How Americans sort of see the parties. Which party is better described as the party with strong leaders? Look at this.
Wow.
16% of Americans say Democrats. 40% say that of the Republican Party. Now, overall, no party's doing great. Lots of Americans say neither of these qualities apply to either party. But look at how much worse off the Democrats are. A party that gets things done. Only 19% of Americans say that about the Democrats. 36% say it about the Republicans.
Those numbers show you just how dire things have become for the left. So what do you do? Well, you begin the propping up tour. 2026 will be here before you know it, as will 2028. Phil, please post another magazine cover. It's AOC time, baby. The Rolling Stone interview. The people will show me the way, she says. A feature that delves into her oligarchy tour, artificial intelligence, cuts to Medicaid, and taking on Donald Trump. If she returns to her district, I think her people will show her the way, as in the way the hell back out of the Bronx. Because according to many reports, she is about as well-received in the Bronx as a Yankees free agent who signed a big deal and then hitted 200 for the season. Fighting the oligarchy, fighting Trump, fighting the truth, fighting for illegal aliens, fighting for men and women's sports. The Democrats have the fight of their lifetime on their hands right now, all because they fight for the wrong things. Joe of the past, Jake presently, Blue MAGA, AOC, the future. There's a phrase in life that goes something like this: pick your battles wisely. The left always picks the wrong ones. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take, if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. That is the phone number. You can get us on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. All right, Dawn, your thoughts? Joe's anger, Jake Tapper hates both parties, Blue MAGA, or maybe the East Palestine, Ohio cover-up, or all of it.
Yeah, I think as far as the Joe Biden situation, I will say this. I think everybody's in agreement that this is a bad look for Jake Tapper. I don't know what his book sales are, but I think for all of these individuals that covered this up, we shouldn't focus on Jake Tapper or his so-called investigative book that never names any source, never names anybody as to who knew what. It's clear everybody who had any access to the former president certainly knew, but it was weird. I know that this was going viral overnight, that President Trump on his Truth Social account had retweeted this long thread that said something to the effect of Joe Biden assassinated 2020.
Yeah, some grifter said, quote, executed in 2020 and replaced with a robot clone. And of course, Trump retweeted it or reposted it, and everybody loses their mind. I mean, they just take his bait every single time. Like, yes, Trump is aware that Joe Biden really is alive. He's messing with people, and they fall for it. Trump is like the fisherman that puts a little bit of bait on the lure. You have to forgive me if I get the verbiage wrong. I'm not an astute fisherman, but I think you put the lure on the little hook. You throw it out there. You cast your rod, and then the stupid fish bites. And next thing you know, it's caught up in his gill, and you reel him in. That's what Trump does with these people, and they fall for it every time, Don.
Yeah, they did. People were, so this was being, you know, pushed out there by social media. It said, there is no hashtag Joe Biden executed in 2020, hashtag Biden clones, doubles, and robotic engineered soulless, mindless entities are what you see. Democrats don't know the difference. So that was somebody else's thing. And to Nick's point, the bait on the bobber, whatever, was out there with Trump just kind of pushed it out, reposted it, and bam, it just went viral. So I just think it's one of those things where nobody doubts that somebody knew and that the truth will come out. But I still don't know who was in charge? Who was running things?
Right.
Who was in charge of the auto pen? We want answers.
I've never seen books. I've never seen a book tour like this, by the way. Phil, if you can, see if you could tell us.
Have it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Because I'm my own producer. 53,000 units sold for the first week, and that may sound like a lot, but by comparison, Bob Woodward's book, Fear, Trump in the White House, sold 1.1 million copies in its first week.
1.1 million to 53,000.
Yes.
Holy smokes. Now, do we know if that's number one on the New York Times list?
So the New York Times is that's such a – you could –
is that Fugazi?
You could buy six books, and, you know, if you play the game right, because, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. If you play the game right, you can be on the New York Times bestseller list.
Okay.
So I wouldn't put that. So this article was written on the 29th of May.
Okay.
And on that day, Amazon had the book at number three, but it was just at that point it was starting to drop.
Okay.
So
All the media blitzes on Amazon, he reached number three.
Yeah.
And now has returned back to lower levels.
So this is I'm getting this from Showbiz 411. They said that's about 1/10 of the people who watch Tapper's nightly show.
1/10. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Right, 53,000.
Yep.
1/10.
Yep.
Is about 500,000.
Yep.
Wow.
So there you go. So the book sale is not going super well for Jakey.
I have never seen. And we were talking about this after the election. In December, then again after the holidays in January, and again in February, the nosedive that the mainstream media has taken, whether it's MSNBC in primetime, CNN's entire lineup all day long, all night long. Now you throw in book sales that are, you said, 1.1 million for Bob Woodward in the first week to Jake Tapper's 53,000.
Yep.
I just gave you the numbers last on Friday about MSNBC. They've lost 40% of their audience. Nobody's watching Jen Psaki. Here we are 7 months removed from the media's crash and burn post-election, and they still haven't recovered anybody.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I thought for sure by the time we got to March or April that people would go back to watching because they want their pound of flesh with Trump. They have TDS. They want to tune into Rachel Maddow or whoever else is, you know, a carnival barker and just, you know, ripping Trump to shreds for every time he breathes or passes gas. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. They might never come back. This is wild. I know I was way off base on this, but I just want to mention this. I know we have a longer version of this for the cut sheet. This FEMA story with the White House should be one of the main headlines today in the media. If we had a fair and honest media, you think about it. I just saw before the show started, they showed Joe. They were talking about the East Palestine thing in the Fox and Friends warm-up show from 5 to 6. They showed the footage of Joe when he returned to East Palestine, Ohio for the first time, February 16th of 2024. That was about a year and a week after the train derailment, which I believe was February of 2023. And now just through a basic Freedom of Information Act request, we find out that they were aware of the dangers with the cancer and everything else, water. Remember that little staged bit where they sent the EPA people in to people's houses? That water tastes good. And then they brought in some politicians. And I think it was Mike DeWine, the Republican from Ohio governor. He sipped the water, and so did some other people of the Biden administration. All of the cover-ups when it comes to our health, the president's health, children's health. We've got a COVID vaccine story for kids, a study that we're going to get to in the second hour of the show. How is this not one of the top two or three stories in the national media today? I mean, News Nation gets this, and I think that report ran on what was May 31st, was Saturday, I believe. And that's like a late Saturday night News Nation telecast where probably 6,400 people in America saw it. Just unbelievable.
As far as FEMA with North Carolina and those victims that we've talked a lot about with the flood victims in North Carolina, post-Hurricane Helene, there was a story over the weekend that President Trump had, quote, turbocharged the emergency aid process to provide all the 100% coverage of the federal cost share in North Carolina for all that public assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks in North Carolina, according to the government stats, are receiving $484 million. So this is the max public assistance through FEMA that they could receive from the federal government.
And a lot of that, and a lot of that region was Trump country. Remember that? Heading into the election, people were concerned that they might not be able to get out to vote. Oh, by the way, if you recall, East Palestine, Ohio, that district voted 73% Republican. 855-839-1210. The number is, what was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Greg.
I was telling you family's right.
Okay. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll come back. We'll get to the hypocrisy of media coverage when it comes to a Democrat versus a Republican, and it all centers around these Fugazi Nazi salutes. Cory Booker, come on down. But first of all, let me tell you about our friends with Families Behind the Badge. Before you know it, it will be here. I think it was 6 weeks yesterday, the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour. It's the 38th edition, and it's coming up on Sunday, July 20th. There's tons of options. You can ride 65 miles. You could ride 30. You could ride 10 on the route from Philly to Atlantic City. I was just told I'll have my bike later this week. Time to get training and be a part of the family-friendly celebration.
You called me out, and you don't even have your bike yet. Remember the countdown to Greg getting his bike? Will Greg ever get his bike?
Yep.
Will Greg ever get his bike?
You don't even have
your bike yet?
It's not my fault.
Oh, man. It's not my fault.
Have you gone out and trained once yet?
Of course I have.
Right,
how dare you? I was doing it yesterday.
You have a leg up on
how
me.
How dare you?
I have hopefully 5 weeks to catch up.
GregStockerSucks.com.
That is correct.
Go there and donate.
Register to ride with me and Team 1210. I'll be back as the captain of 1210, even though Stocker will probably finish before me.
The hideous human.
I'll just hang out in the back with the other fatzos. We'll all ride together. And you could join. And if you don't want to join with the ride, you could just donate for the cause. Visit ben2shore.org. When you sign up with the code NICK1210, they will take off $25 off the registration fee. That's Ben, the number 2, Shore, S-H-O-R-E.org. Promo code NICK1210. Let's show everybody how 1210 WPHT and Odyssey supports law enforcement. And it's all organized by Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, where they provide immediate financial relief to families of fallen or critically injured first responders and connect cops and kids through non-enforcement positive action.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
855-839-1210. Great cut sheet coming up today with Harry Mays. Great week, actually. Tony Bruno will join us on Wednesday. We have our veteran spotlight for the first Wednesday of the month in June. And then on Friday, yes, Kale and Company and The Dawn Show, we will be out once again live on location for 1210 WPHT's Piazza Pet of the Month. Look at Philly, even threw up the graphic. Beautiful German Shepherd, the Mercedes-Benz of Westchester dealership, Stalker's beautiful jacket, Dawn's beautiful face, and my fat head, all perfectly lined out perfectly. Look at that. Friday, June 6th, The Dawn Show, where we will have coffee. We will have donuts.
Coffee.
We will have dogs.
Yeah.
Lots of coffee. More coffee. Lots of Dawn. Some of me. Some of Greg. And hopefully all of you. It'll be a fun time. Adopt the pet.
I'm calling everybody out. I need everybody to show up there. We're going to be there at 6 a.m. You should be there at 6 a.m. So, Brandywine SPCA. Brandywine Valley.
SPCA. Yes, Brandywine Valley SPCA.
They are they're excited about this. They reposted all of our social stuff. They're so looking forward to this. We're going to get some dogs, cats, something. We're going to get some animals adopted. So please come out. What's the likelihood that one of us adopts something?
You know, I'm available for adoption. I just want to say that. If you want to scoop me up and bring me home with
you.
Yeah.
Yes, for the right price. Male or female, since it's Pride Month.
Yeah, come out to Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, right there on, what is that?
Westchester Pike.
Thank you. Westchester Pike.
Yes.
In Westchester.
Very easy.
Yeah, we'll be right out front. Hopefully it's nice weather because...
Yeah, it's going to be almost 90 degrees that day.
We're outside, kids.
Oh, we're doing it outside?
Yes, of course. How dare you?
Oh, I figured we'd be inside one of the glass showrooms.
No, we're going to be out there in the weather.
Oh, okay.
In the elements.
All right.
So,
should I bring, from football, like we have like the tents, like the nice
we
ones.
We have a tent? What is wrong with you? Okay.
Bring some SPF 50 for us.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, I don't want to burn. Although from 6 to 10, the UV rays are pretty low. So I should be all right. I'll be sweating, though. You get to see me sweat.
No, you're hanging out, bro. Like we're all doing this. Dawn is auctioning off, but you're hanging out too. So don't like 9:57.
No, that's fine.
Running out of
there. Yeah. And if anybody gets on my nerves, I'll just hop into a supercharged Benz and run you over.
Earn your keep here.
Yeah, I'll hang out. You're just gonna get to see me sweat.
Oh God. Ugh.
Good sight. All right. Let's get to this. I've got to call out Newsweek because we've got multiple headlines here. Phil, let's go with the screenshot of the headlines. I believe this was K1, and we're going to see a side-by-side of what Newsweek decided to report and how they decided to frame it. You see it on YouTube. On January 27th of 2025, 80 years after Auschwitz, Elon Musk keeps the fascist salute alive. That was an opinion column from Newsweek about 4 or 5 months ago. And then on Saturday, Cory Booker did the same exact thing. We will show you the video evidence in a moment. But on May 31st, Newsweek publishes this. MAGA accuses Democratic Senator Cory Booker of doing Nazi salute. Now, Phil, let's go to K2. We have both salutes, and I use salutes in air quotes because I don't think either one are a Nazi salute. But again, this is what Dawn talks about, media bias by omission, and the way they put slants on things. Let's watch side by side, simultaneously, Elon Musk and Cory Booker do the exact same thing. Roll it. Keep rolling it. I want to watch it on loop. Like I'm on ketamine, like I'm Elon Musk, according to the New York Times. Look at that. Hands on the chest, fingers spread, and boom, hand over the heart, and out. Now, do those look almost identical?
Yes.
I would say a 9 out of a 10 as far as, like, identical matches. Now, one is a Nazi salute, and the other is MAGA loses their mind over Cory Booker. So, Newsweek, mainstream media, how do you want to do it? How should we handle this? Same exact thing. Completely different coverage.
The only difference is that Elon Musk is zooted out of his mind there.
And biting his lip.
Yeah. So that's the only difference.
The
drugs are running high in Elon and that in that one. But no, there's absolutely.
And one guy's kind of on the spectrum with autism, right? So I think everything that Elon Musk does, whether he's sober or perhaps taking something allegedly, I want to say allegedly, I don't know that that's true.
I mean, he's admitted to it.
Yeah, but now the report is that he's abusing it, I guess, according to the New York Times, that he's on so much ketamine.
Did you see him in the Oval Office on Friday?
I
have video proof that he was bombed out of his mind.
I'm very hesitant to run with anything that I see on X anymore because I have no idea if it's manufactured.
No, you're not.
That was a nasty hit piece by the New York Times.
I agree.
That they assigned, think about that. They assigned two reporters dating back from Butler, Pennsylvania, July 13th, here in Pennsylvania, when Elon took the stage. And they, in my humble opinion, they put out a hit piece. Elon took the stage, supported
Elon
Trump,
admitted to doing drugs.
Tracking.
He admitted to doing drugs.
So did Obama.
But doing
Obama
it versus...
Obama admitted to doing cocaine. So,
right.
So the fact that he admitted... They were saying these... The headlines were horrible, Greg, and they put that hit piece out on the same day that he was to be celebrated at the White House
as
at
1:30.
You don't think that's a hit piece?
They
assigned two reporters, not just one, two reporters, go out and find the dirt.
And now they quote 12 sources.
There's video evidence of him in the Oval Office on Friday with his eyes rolling in the back of his head like he's on Molly.
He's definitely on something. No doubt about it. I don't dispute that.
Give me a break.
But look at the coverage, though. Here's the difference. Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden's got a drug addiction. Everybody's affected and afflicted by addiction. We all can relate to the family alcoholic or the family druggie. But with Elon Musk, it's like, he's got 12 sources. He's snorting this and popping this.
Here's my take. Yes, he's on drugs.
Yes,
and
agreed.
I don't care.
Agreed.
As long as he gets what he's supposed to get done.
Right.
I could care less what he's on.
Same here.
So I believe that yes, he's on drugs. Yes, he does drugs. But I also don't care.
No, I don't either. I'm just looking at it from a media coverage standpoint. I'm supposed to be sympathetic for Hunter Biden and his drug addiction, but the New York Times can drag him on his way out on his final day and say he had daily ketamine, occasionally mixed with ecstasy, psychedelic mushrooms, both in private and public gatherings. He admitted to having depression and taking ketamine, taking it roughly every 2 weeks. But then, according to sources around him, he had 20 pills on him at one time. He was also taking Adderall. I mean, this was like a total hit piece to make him out to be a junkie. And maybe he is a junkie. But then just don't tell me that I have to feel sympathetic for Hunter.
Did we speculate for years on this radio show that White House officials were doping up?
I think everybody, I shouldn't say that, but I think a lot of people in politics are on something.
But weren't we speculating that doctors and everything were doping up Joe Biden to get him out there?
Yep.
So what's the difference? What's the difference? We could sit here and speculate that, but it's a hit piece for the New York Times to write about Elon Musk?
Well, to me, it's just, look, if you have a drug addiction, then we have to be consistent with, we don't get to just coddle 154. And by the way,
I didn't say he had a drug addiction. I never said he had a drug addiction.
No, I'm talking about Hunter. I'm talking about Hunter. I mean, both of these guys are men in their 50s, right? Like, my stance has been with Hunter, and I'll be consistent with Elon Musk. Like, at some point, you just kind of wash your hands with people. Like, if you're a family member or a friend, you've tried to help them for 10, 15 years to beat the habit or whatever, and they don't want to do it. Like, I don't hold it against people that are like, you know what, bro, I tried. I'm moving on. My whole beef is the way they cover it for the Bidens versus Elon Musk in the media. That's
just
all.
Just to put our qualifier to your point, that there's a lot of swirl about this. As far as Elon Musk, he did post over the weekend, quote, not, in all caps, not taking drugs. He said that he tried prescription ketamine a few years ago, but has not taken it since then. And he said over the weekend he had posted this in writing saying that the New York Times had, quote, lied. So that's from Elon Musk, his side of the story. Will he sue? Mm. Will he say they slandered him? But he says it was prescription ketamine. He says he is not taking drugs.
Okay.
Okay, well, we have the video.
Just putting out your legal
we have video evidence that
there.
Shows his eyes rolling in the back of his head.
But right. Maybe that, I don't know what.
Okay, Dawn.
I didn't do a drug test. I don't have any proof of a drug test.
The woman who's never done drugs knows what somebody who's on drugs looks like. Okay.
Well, you never done any drugs? Neither have I. Actually, I take that back. I did marijuana one time. I told you guys about that.
I did marijuana once.
Remember that? Says, I was like Elon. I'm like,
I did marijuana.
He took the pot.
Yeah, exactly.
I did. It was the gummy. And it rocked me. Never again. 855-839-1210. Dawn's got news to kick off hour two. Then we are going to get to one of the biggest COVID studies for children. And of course, not conducted in America and certainly not reported here by the American media. Except we'll cover it on this show.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.